The Paradise of Thieves by G.K. Chesterton. The great Mascari, the most original of the young Tuscan poets, walked swiftly into his favourite restaurant, which overlooked the Mediterranean, was covered by an awning and fenced by little lemon and orange trees. Waiters in white aprons were already laying out, on white tables, the insignia of an early and elegant lunch. And this seemed to increase a satisfaction that already touched the top of swagger. Mascari had an eagle nose like Dante. His hair and neckerchief were dark and flowing. He carried a black cloak, and might almost have carried a black mask, so much did he bear with him a sort of Venetian melodrama. He acted as if a troubadour had still a definite social office like a bishop. He went as near as his century permitted to walking the world literally like Don Juan, with rapier and guitar. For he never travelled without a case of swords, with which he had fought many brilliant duels, or without a corresponding case of his mandolin, with which he had actually serenaded Miss Ethel Harrogate, the highly conventional daughter of a Yorkshire banker, on a holiday. Yet he was neither a charlatan nor a child, but a hot, logical Latin, who liked a certain thing and was it. His poetry was as straightforward as anyone else's prose. He desired fame, or wine, or the beauty of women, with a torrid directness, inconceivable among the cloudy ideals or cloudy compromises of the North. To vaguer races, his intensity smelt of danger or even crime, like fire or the sea. He was too simple to be trusted. The banker and his beautiful English daughter were staying at the hotel attached to Mascari's restaurant. That was why it was his favourite restaurant. A glance flashed round the room told him at once, however, that the English party had not descended. The restaurant was glittering, but still comparatively empty. Two priests were talking at a table in the corner. But Mascari, an ardent Catholic, took no more notice of them than of a couple of crows. But from a yet farther seat, partly concealed behind a dwarf tree, golden with oranges, there rose and advanced towards the poet a person whose costume was the most aggressive opposite to his own. This figure was clad in tweeds of a piebald check, with a pink tie, a sharp collar, and protuberant yellow boots. He contrived, in the true tradition of Arry at Margate, to look at once startling and commonplace. But as the Cockney apparition drew nearer, Mascari was astounded to observe that the head was distinctly different from the body.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?